And you have to share your experience here in the room with us, Jesse. Smoking like a little over a month ago, so the level of profanity I use on a regular basis has increased like exponentially. And I'm really sorry about it because I hate it. Like, I was just like talking to a girlfriend of mine's here from LA right now visiting, and I'm just noticing like our day to day conversation, like me saying goodnight to her, involves like five cuss words, which is like really not pleasant for me. So that's fun. Also, you probably don't know me or haven't seen me because I just moved here and I started a master's program, and so my life's been kind of hectic. So I'm really actually glad to be here to share it because it gets me out of myself a little bit. So fun things. But before I forget, my sobriety date, I have one. It's December 12th, 2004. I got sober in Oceanside, California, North San Diego, which is a weird place, but it's kind of awesome, and that's my home. So, and I have a sponsor. Her name's Diana C. She lives in San Diego. We're doing the long distance thing right now. And are there any other things? And yeah, I just recently made a home group here. It's Young and Wise Friday night, which is pretty awesome. And you should definitely go because I went to that meeting and like this awesome girl that's in the room like told me I should go there and meet all these other women that went there. Like, I feel at home now, you know. And, like, that's really awesome that, like, I can go into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and, like, feel okay. Because, like, that's not how it would be for me if I didn't, you know? Like, because no matter how crazy my life gets, like, you guys know. And there's someone else here that, like, has had, like, the same experience as I do. And that's kind of awesome. So I was super weird growing up. Not surprising, I'm sure, because I feel like I hear that in, like, everyone's AA story. Like, I felt really uncomfortable. Didn't know how to interact socially. So that's my thing. And I, from like real young, I like my best friends were these two twin Jehovah Witnesses. And so they were so good. And so like a big part of their life was like this God thing. And I can't even tell you like the details of the Jehovah Witness faith, I guess. But they were like happy all the time, you know, and they weren't like super, super weird around people. And like, they just like kind of had what I wanted in a way, you know, like they just looked like they were at ease with life. And so like really early on, I started like church hopping because like I had this like gap, you know, and like I really wanted to see like what else was out there. And like maybe like this like idea of like religion or God or like whatever could fill that. And like I think I did everything except like temple, which I'm like kind of bummed about because I think like Judaism is super cool. And like I wish that would have happened to me, but it didn't happen. So I like went like everywhere and I never fit in like in churches, which is such a bummer because my parents are agnostic. Like my dad's really agnostic and my mom's Irish Catholic, so that's super fun. I don't know how they got together, but they didn't understand why I was like doing this at all, you know. But like I was never baptized, so I go to like Catholic church, and I don't know why I was never baptized because I'm almost Catholic. It was super weird. But I go to like that church, and they like wouldn't allow me when it was like communion time. Everyone was like, "No, sit down. Like you're not sanctified." So like, and I was just alone, you know. Like I was just alone sitting there again, like, and I couldn't go up and be a part of, you know? And, like, that was really a weird thing for me, like, early on, because I wanted to fit in, and, like, now I know that, like, me trying to, like, fill the God-shaped hole with God was, like, happening back then, but I didn't know that was happening. So, I just, you know, middle finger up to all religions, all notions of God everywhere, and then I had this super awesome friend who told me, my mom's an alcoholic, P.S., kind of important, Irish Catholic, thought you figured that out, but maybe not. And so I had this friend that was like the bad influence friend that came over, basically opened up my mom's cabinet and was like, all right, we're going to do this now, we're going to smoke that later, we'll do that in 5 years, maybe, if we're really crazy. And so that was kind of like my first drink experience, you know, like my real first drink. Like I had some sips during Christmas when I was a kid, and blah, 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 but Like, I really wanted to know what made my mom that way, you know? Because she would go in the bathroom, and she had, like, weird party cups, which is super weird in retrospect, but, like, she had, like, red party cups, and she filled them with vodka, and, like, I'd go on kamikaze missions when I was little, because I knew when she went to the bathroom, she came out different, and I didn't like different mom. I wanted real mom, you know? And so I go in the bathroom, spill out her vodka, fill it with water, put it back. Really upsetting for her. And then one day I started drinking it, you know? And I was like, I should know, like, when this whole change started. Because at first I was like, but I was the good kid. At first, right? And then we started this whole process where I just stole my mom's vodka on a regular basis. And I felt okay. And, like, I can't tell you a whole lot of the details from, like, the early end of my drinking because I blacked out. And I don't remember, like, big pieces of my life. And that's real, you know? And I know there's people here that identify to that. And it's awesome that you identify to that. Because, like, I just thought that was the thing that I was doing. Was, like, engaging in this behavior that, like, helped me forget what life was, you know? Because, I really feel like my issue for a long time was feeling and not knowing how to deal with feelings in any capacity. And my sponsor still likes to tell me that today when I call her with problems. I'm like, what's the solution? She's like, you just need to feel. And I really hate that, you know? And so, like, alcohol for me was that, like, instant not feel. And from the moment, like, I found that and put that in my life, all I wanted was, like, oblivion. Like, I didn't want, like, a social buzz ever, you know? Like, I wanted, like, the blackout. I wanted to puke all over you. Like, and that was real for me. And because once I hit that was, like, my first drink. I, like, went there, and it was, like, magic, you know? And all I wanted from that point forward was magic. And that's, like, by the time I got to, like, that last drink for me, it was, like, it wasn't working because I didn't have that magic anymore, you know? Like, because that's all I want. I wanted that relief, you know? And once it became, like, this thing that I needed to survive on a daily basis, it wasn't relieving anymore. It was like, my baseline, you know? And that was a rough time. So I just little highlights. I started drinking on a regular basis when I was like 10-ish, and I'm sure this young people's meeting. Don't need to tell you it's super hard to get booze when you're 10. So I started doing other stuff and like finding really creative ways to get like drugs and alcohol and like by the time I was like 15, I was doing like a bunch of stuff in ways that are really unpleasant, that have screwed up, like, my arms forever, you know? And I had this thing where, like, instead of going home where I had, like, a roof under my head, I wanted to, like, sleep on the streets and like, live this. And I was super punk rock BS, which was really funny because I was, like, 13 and had, like, steel-toed boots and it was really tough and hung out with, like, 35-year-old guys, which isn't weird at all. And so, like, I chose, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to sleep under the bridge, you know? Like I have a bed at home with, like nice parents who are going to cook me food, but, like, that's, you know, like, the bridge sounds so much more cool, you guys. And so, like, I did that, you know? And, like, I was going on, like, heists, I like to call them, because it sounds better than, like, stealing heists, because I used to steal just, like, massive amounts of liquor and fried chicken, which was really gross, from grocery stores. And then, like, and I would go to my beachfront abandoned property with no plumbing and, like, just get crazy wasted on a regular basis, you know? And there were moments in there that were super fun. Like, I love drugs and alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, I see, like, people that can drink normally, and I super envy it, because, like, I love it. Like, I love it! But, like, it doesn't work for me, you know? Because, like, I end up in situations where I'm watching people overdose on a regular basis. And I end up in situations where, like, my boyfriend, who, P.S., was, like, 11 years my senior and schizophrenic and living in my parents' house with me, was, like, overdosing in front of me. And I was like, dude, you're screwing up my high. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's... That was, like, a reality for me, is that a lot of times, like, when I first got sober, I'd look back and think I was a victim because a lot of people, like, left me, you know, in, like, these really compromising situations. But, like, I did that to other people because, like, alcohol and drugs and, like, not feeling was way more important than, like, a human life, you know, and, like, any sort of, like, virtuous characteristic that I ever had or knew existed. And so to give you the dance-friendly remix version because I think I I'm just gonna do that. I came to my first AA meeting when I was 14. My mom brought me. She was smoking pot in the car on the way, and so good. My mom is still like that. She's so awesome. But I guess she like stopped drinking for a minute. So she took me to this meeting because I got like arrested a couple times, and I'm leaving out all the like fun gory details. I also went to like some mental institutions. I also had like some kidney and liver failure, and like all that like madness, you know. But I got caught at high school with my thermos of vodka, and I was like swinging and throwing stuff at the substitute teacher. And that was high school, right? 14, yeah. And so she took me to an AA meeting, and I thought it was a joke, you know. Like, I was there with my mom, eating a donut, like, she was totally high, you know what I mean? And when we were, like, going around the room to introduce ourselves, like, she, like, nudged me and was like, you have to say you're an alcoholic, and I was like, but I'm not, and if you, you know, and it was like, but it wasn't my time, and, needless to say, she thought it was and put me in a super sweet rehab, and, did that little deal for a bit, and it wasn't my time, you know? Like, I needed to, like, hit a bigger bottom. And, like, this is super pathetic because, like, out of all the, like, medical conditions I had and, like, things that went wrong, like, my bottom was super pathetic, you know? Like, I had had points where, like, I'd go on a drinking binge for, like weeks and only eat chili. I hate chili. Like, I hate it. And I get, like, I actually developed rheumatic fever on a drinking binge, which is, like, an archaic like medieval disease, and I might need to go back to the doctor for that, but like, that was like, you know, there was like these bottoms that were super dramatic and chaotic, but that wasn't my bottom. Like, my bottom, I don't know what I did to this day. Like, I really have done like searching and fearless moral inventories of like my part, but all of my friends one day decided like, I probably blacked out like the important details here, but like they were all following me in a mob with like 4x4s with nails in them, and they were like, "We're gonna kill you." I was like really afraid, you know, like because these were like my friends, and I really still don't know what I did, but like that was like the quality of my life at the time, you know, like everyone that I was around because I could get something out of them, you know, and. And I guess I figured that out, and that was a bummer. And so I hid in a bush, and then I got up and some homeless in the park to, you know, buy me a couple 40s, and I went into a tree. I was a tree drinker at this point. I was like 17, and I was a tree drinker. And so I would get up and into a tree and shimmy myself up my booze, and I would just get wasted in trees. Because, like, I thought I was, like, a good cover-up, you know? And, like, every other place I had to go was gone. Like, no one wanted me around anymore, you know? And it's super pathetic because it's my last drunk. But so I got in this tree, and I got really wasted. And I like, forgot how to get out of the tree. And that's, like, real. And so I remember, like, having this moment where I was like, okay, I gotta get down. And I don't know how I got up here, so I'm just going to have to throw myself from the tree. And that's what, I just fell. Like, I just willingly fell out of the tree. And that was, like, a moment for me, you know? Like, that was my moment. And I don't know why that was my moment, but it was my moment, you know? Because everyone was gone. Like, no one helped me out of the tree. I don't know if it was some weird metaphysical thing that was going on, but... But that was my moment, you know, and luckily I was still dating I just realized this is recorded and he's totally sober. So he was my schizophrenic boyfriend, and that's real. He was like diagnosed with me, and he was living in my parents' house with me, and he had been to AA. You know? I'm so glad no one here knows who that is, because I feel like where I was from and got sober, everyone was like, oh yeah, that guy. and he, you know, I came back home and I was like, I need to do something different. And I don't know what happened, but he took me to a meeting. And it was an all-men's meeting, and they didn't want to have me, you know? And so, like, I formulated my first resentment against AA. And luckily, he was a patient enough and I think sick of me enough to take me to another meeting. And you guys were super intimidating there too. Like I had this woman come up to me and like she was giggling a bunch, and I had like a really tiny, I used to wear little boys clothes from I don't know what it's called here. It's like the veterans, like not Salvation Army, but like some veterans clothing place. I used to go buy like little boys clothes and wear them, and so I had this tiny little pocket on my shirt. I'm like, God bless her. She like came up to me after the meeting and poked me like right where the pocket was, and was like, "That's so cute." Like just, I lost it. Like I just lost it. And, like ran out of AA for good and met my mom in the parking lot and just cried, you know, because I really didn't know what to do anymore. Like it was, I was 17 and there wasn't many young people in my area when I got sober, and like everyone was just really old looking, and they were happy, you know, like, and that was what confused me so much, was like I knew I couldn't keep living the life I was living because it wasn't working for me anymore. I couldn't hit that oblivion anymore, you know, like I couldn't get that like joy and relief and that sense of awe and comfort that came from the first drink. But then at the same time, like, I couldn't be sober, because if I was sober, then I'd have to feel and live and like, oh, so gross, you know? Like, can't do that ever, ever. And so when you guys, like, laughed and giggled and touched my tiny pocket, I knew there was something, you know? And I'm glad I was there long enough to see a light, but, like, I ran out, like, in horror, because I didn't understand that lifestyle. You know, like, I wasn't ever around anyone that, like, laughed and giggled and, like, that were sober. Like, I always characterized everyone in my life by, like, what I thought they were on, you know? Like, I was like, that guy has to be on acid because, like, he just said something about God and that's weird. Like, you know, like, I would put these, like, labels on people because I couldn't understand, like, really could not comprehend living life without, like, drugs and alcohol. And so I thought everyone had to be on one, you know? And so AA really confused me at first, and luckily, like, there was a woman at that meeting who gave me, no, it wasn't at that meeting, it was at a different meeting, my whole first year of sobriety was really blurry. There was a girl at one of the first meetings I went to who gave me her number, and she said, you know, call me if you think about drinking, and here's a book. Good luck. You know, I didn't think anyone who like laid their eyes on me thought I had a really good like success rate coming in. And like I got desperate enough to call her one night, you know, and that's like where my story in AA like began, because like she was able to break down for me in a really loving way what this disease was, you know, which I hadn't understood that before, like being young and like, and effed up all the time. Do you like that? I totally didn't use profanity. I was going to. Like, everyone was always telling me, like, stop. You know? Like, you have to stop. You have a problem. Like, you stole again. Like, you, like, shot blood all over your parents' walls. Like, you did, you know, all this stuff. And you need to stop. And, like, I couldn't understand that. I was like, don't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? And when I talked to this woman, like, she didn't tell me what to do. She was like, hey, check it out. I relate. Here's what I did. I'll help you or I'll not help you. It's up to you, you know? And she didn't stay my sponsor more than 6 months. Just she gave me the temporary sponsor line. I don't know what that was about. But I found a sponsor a couple months later who I'm still working with today, and she's absolutely amazing and taught me, you know, she walked me through the steps, like, one by one, and she told me that I could, you know, all of these, like, resentments about, like, a higher power that I had didn't have to be real here, you know? Because, like, at the end of my drinking, P.S., I used to just, like, go into churches and yell at people, like, during sermons. Or, like, I was real bad. And so, like, I had some issues with, like, this idea of God. And she told me, like, I didn't need to call it God. It could be, like, squirrels and trees or doorknobs or, like, whatever I wanted it to be, you know? And, like, today still, like, I have no idea what my higher power is. And that's cool because, like, I haven't had a drink today. You know? And, like, that's all I need to know sometimes. And she also, like, in taking me through the steps, like, has taught me, like, these amazing things that, like, I get to be present in my life today, you know? And I get to live whatever life I want to live because I'm sober and I'm young. And, like, she, not gonna do the teary thing. But she really taught me a new way of life, you know? Like, I thought for sure I would never be able to leave Oceanside. And if you've ever been to Oceanside, someone hollered, and I heard it. Oceanside is kind of shitty. and it's real small. And I couldn't leave the town border. You know what I mean? Like, because I had all my connections were right here. And, like, I had to stay in this, like, general vicinity. Or I would be without drugs and alcohol. And I could not imagine life without drugs and alcohol. So I could never leave, you know? And, like, she took me to a meeting in Carlsbad, which was, like, the city next to Oceanside. And I was like, revolution! And, it was amazing. And she also told me, like, to get involved in service. And so, like, I just started showing up for Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? Like, I can't even recall my first year sober. I, like, remember, like, we have these sit-in things in I think it's only, like, North San Diego we do this. But basically, the night before you get a year, you have a party from 9 to midnight, and everyone sits in with you to make sure you don't drink, you know? Which is so awesome. And like, I remember that moment, and I was like, how did I get here? And she's like, you just showed up. You just showed up every day, you know? And that's all, like, I had to do was just, like, keep going and keep acting as if for long enough to, like, have clarity to know that I was sober, you know? I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, a year sober. This is crazy, because all I did was show up every day, you know? And that's really been my experience in AA, is that, like, no matter how uncomfortable I am, no matter what's going on, like, I show up, and stuff has gotten, like, really real. Like, I was able to get involved in a young people's committee in San Diego, and like, they absolutely saved my life, and I built, like, friendships that I never knew were possible before. Like, because, again, 4x4 is chasing me. You know, like, that was all I knew of life. And today, like, I have people that have showed up for me. Like, in times, like, I didn't think that I would be able to show up for somebody else, you know? And I have, like, these relationships today that are absolutely meaningful and amazing because, like, Alcoholics Anonymous was there for me, you know? And like, shit's gotten real in sobriety, and like, I have my sponsor labels it as the trio of catastrophe, and usually things like happen in threes, you know. And after I had a couple years sober, my mom had a stroke, and that was really hard for me. Me and my mom had, like, drank together since I was really little, and when I got sober, like, she didn't understand, you know, because I was, like, her drinking buddy, and we still had, like, a really tarnished relationship, and Alcoholics Anonymous showed up for me, I got to go to the hospital and, like, show up for her, and just sit there with her, and just be, you know, and, like, because of that, our relationship has absolutely changed today. Now, like, I've had opportunities to, like, take care of her, you know, and, like, be present for her. Because Alcoholics Anonymous did that for me when I, like, broke up with my boyfriend and the world was over. Because everything in my life, like, still, let's be real, is a catastrophe. And like, you guys showed me that it doesn't have to be like that, you know? Like, I can deal with anything if I stay sober today. Like, anything, you guys. Anything. Like, I have been through, like, some real stuff, you know? And it's because, like, Alcoholics Anonymous taught me to be present enough to just be in a moment. And so, like, sometimes it's as simple for me as, like, just being, okay, I'm right here. I'm right here right now. I'm right here right now. And, like, saying that for 24 hours straight, you know? And, like, that's okay. And, like, some days I'm not, like, a super awesome AA. Like, P.S., because I'm getting real close to the end, I can see you do the fun hand thing. Oh, you're not doing, oh, sorry, I'm keeping track of myself. So dangerous. Okay. because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I can do anything. And, like, I didn't think I would ever leave. I didn't graduate high school, P.S. I got a bachelor's degree, it took me, like, 8 years, but whatever. I got a bachelor's degree, you know? And I graduated with, like, some cool honors stuff. And, like, I moved here across the country with two boxes, didn't know anybody. didn't know anybody. And I'm getting a master's degree. That's really weird for someone that, like, didn't graduate high school, you know? Like, couldn't show up because after they found my vodka stash, I didn't know how to go on a regular basis. Like, and that is because Alcoholics Anonymous for me has meant, like, these steps and, like, having some sort of relationship with something bigger than me has meant that, like, I have my life back today, you know? I can deal with feelings, and I can have whatever life I want to live if I just keep coming, you know? Like, if I'm just, like, present right now, I can do whatever it is that I want to do. And, like, I truly believe that, like, Alcoholics Anonymous is like, not just the reason I'm alive, but, like, the reason I have a life worth living. And that's pretty cool. So, thanks.